Might get almost. It's not time to begin thinking of opening any presents yet. Nor is it time to prepare a Christmas feast. Well, maybe some preparations could get started later. But we patiently and deliberately still wait to celebrate the coming of our Lord. We wait until the proper time. This morning we meditate on the angel Gabriel delivering favored greetings upon Mary, the mother of our Lord, and then this evening service we then joyfully worship and hear again of the birth of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, though, I ask you to think about what would be going on in this young lady's mind. Mary, an angel of the Lord, had come to her and proclaims God's highest and holy greetings, and then tells her that she is favored by God and he is with her. Our text then says she pauses. She stops to think about this. She's greatly troubled. And in true faithful humility, she takes an honest and repentant inventory of her life, wondering just how could this be true? In fact, we're told that she was so greatly troubled, she tried to discern what sort of greeting was this? What was this anyways? Was somebody trying to play a practical joke on her? Or maybe she was just wondering, what's the catch? You know, what's the deal about this? Mary must have been thinking, this can't get any worse. And then the angel Gabriel tells her that God will cause her to conceive a child. She's going to give birth to God's own son, and his name will be called Jesus. How can this be, since I am a virgin, Mary says. Mary, though not part of, you know, the social or the elite of the time, but she's not dumb in how this all works, you know. She knows the birds and the bees. Gabriel responds by telling her exactly how it's all going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Let that sink in. This pronouncement that the angel has to Mary. Think about that, too. This angel Gabriel shows up out of nowhere and essentially says to this young Mary, who wasn't married yet, hence the emphasis on the fact that she was a virgin, because believe it or not, there was a time when, well, people did not have sex outside of marriage. But hearing that Mary was troubled by this greeting certainly makes sense now, doesn't it? Rejoice! Really? Pregnancy out of wedlock? Rejoice? Pregnancy now? How can this be, since I am a virgin? So now, can you imagine what's going through this young girl's mind, Mary? It's been thought that Mary must have been in her early teen years when this took place. So without a doubt, the concept of rejoicing was probably the farthest thing from her mind. Would you believe her? No, really, it's a miracle. Yeah, right. The shame that would inevitably come down upon her, Joseph, and their families. It it's almost inexplicable for us in our more progressive and modern, shameless day and age. I mean, would you believe them? This story? That's how nature works, and everyone knows it. Would you believe your daughters or your granddaughters if they told you this story? Yet here's the thing. Mary faithfully listens and obeys. She believes the unbelievable thing that's been proclaimed to her. She doesn't worry about what others might think. She doesn't worry about any consequences or any backlash. Little, no-name peasant Mary is favored by God, not because of her bloodline or any of her incredible deeds or anything like that. God just chose Mary. He showed his favor to her simply because of his good grace. God can show his favor to the lowest of the low. God can cause a virgin to conceive and give birth, even bear the Savior of the world. God can cause a young little virgin to be the very mother of God. Now that may sound crazy to you, but remember, nothing will be impossible with God. Mary believes this. She confesses her faith and she says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." How many of us, you and I, how many of us can honestly confess this in our daily lives? "Let it be to me according to your word, O Lord." We might like to think that this is our confession, but our reality tells a little bit of a different story. You and I both know that our daily confessions often sound more like we're trying to make a deal with God. We still want to maintain some control, you know, over what's taking place in our lives. We often make a plea with God to make things right, you know. "Heal us, save us, Lord. If only..." I bring this up for good reason. Because most theologians will tell you that this is the exact moment when the angel's prophecy was fulfilled and the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And she conceived in her womb the Christ child. That moment that she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." I mean, look back over the text. Up to this point, the angel's words regarding Mary's pregnancy have only been in the future tense. Mary will conceive. She will bear a son. She's not pregnant yet until she says those words. And that's why many theologians, especially like the good Martin Luther, will say that the very moment Mary hears the word of God and obediently confesses, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This is the very moment that the Holy Spirit brings forth life in her. She didn't argue. She didn't put up a fuss. She didn't doubt. There was no doubt in her mind. She didn't hamper or try to clinch the work of the Holy Spirit and maintain control over herself. She simply and humbly heard, and she obeyed. In fact, that obedience to the word included her rejoicing. words we now remember, such as her Magnificat. Beautiful song from Scripture. But here's the thing. This same life-giving reality is at work in you, in each one of you. It's working right now, this very day. The Holy Spirit has never stopped giving the free and undeserved gift of life. The Holy Spirit has never stopped bestowing the life that is only found in Christ Jesus upon us. So consider how God still works in your life. Consider how you might have been brought to life-saving faith and how you remain in this life-saving faith through the hearing of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. Romans 10:17. My fellow redeemed, children of God. This is what we confess in the third article of the Apostles' Creed. In the meaning from the small catechism, it says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies me in Christ. Through the means of God's holy word and the holy sacraments, the Holy Spirit continues to overshadow you, and he continues to work the impossible in your life. Slavery to freedom, sin to salvation, death to life. And that's just it. With man, these things, these reversals, they're impossible. As impossible as a virgin conceiving and giving birth. We can't do it, not even just a little bit. With God, however, not only are these blessed gifts of forgiveness and mercy and favor, not only are they not impossible, but they are a reality. Not just for us, but for the entire world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and in him, and because of him, it is finished. This is the good news. This is life-saving, life-giving news that certainly calls for rejoicing. God has saved us in Christ Jesus. He has done all the work. It is finished. This is certainly reason to rejoice in season and out of season and eternally. May this eternal good news be in your hearts and on your lips all the remaining days that your Lord calls you to serve him. May your confession and response ever and always match that of Mary's, the mother of our Lord. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me, whatever it may be, according to your word, thy will be done. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.